we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
What we do not do is spy unlawfully on Americans.
We are leaving in 2014, period. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
America's public enemy number one in the United States is drug abuse. In order to fight and defeat this enemy, it is necessary to wage a new all-out offensive.
You are listening to Biting the Bullet with Luke and Typo.
Welcome, everybody, to Biting the Fucking Bullet. I'm joined by my co-host, Typo, as always. He's drinking water. Say hi. Wave.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And we have a very special guest for you guys. Control motherfucking Pew. What's up,
what's
dude?
What's up? What's going on, my dudes?
We're really happy that you came back. It's been over 2 years, or just about 2 years, since we've had you on the show.
It feels weird that it's been that long.
Yeah. It was a long 2 years, but at the same time, it was a quick 2 years, right? Like, it's weird.
Yeah.
Time didn't exist the last 2 years. Like, it didn't make sense.
It's sort of like it started and stopped a lot.
Yeah, it did. It did. There was a lot of press pause in the last 2 years and then fast forward.
Right.
Yeah. So, and I think you were on in, like, if I'm not mistaken, you were on before the lockdowns happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, that was just a different time, dude. Right. Like,
yeah,
it was like a whole other century ago.
It's a whole new world,
right?
Oh man,
yeah, it was, because we weren't even talking. Like, I don't even think it had to have been like right on the cusp, and I think that's when we were talking, like, they're not gonna shut everything down, and we were talking about 3D printing,
possibly.
And you know, well, we all know how that went,
yeah. Yeah. Everything got shut off except for 3D printing, which took off in a huge way.
Oh my God. Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's amazing what happens when you, what's that?
I was going to say, did it take off a lot during the lockdowns?
Oh yeah. I think, like, just from my audience growth sort of over the 2 years, like, it's amazing what happens when you lock someone in a room and say, the only way you're allowed to survive is through buying shit off Amazon. Right? And then these cheeky people show up with, like, hey, you can 3D print a gun. You want a 3D printer? Go to Amazon. You know? Printer, yeah, filament, parts to your door, 2 days or whatever.
Surprise. What did your website look like? Did the views just go crazy? Like, did you start getting a lot of hits on the website?
Yeah, it's still kind of up there.
Really?
I mean, we're like close to 500,000 a month, just
Damn,
people
that's
looking.
Wild. That's awesome, dude.
And
that's,
I mean, it's awesome. It's tapered a lot, tapered off a little bit with, like, people going back to work and stuff, but it's still, you know, up there. So
what's crazy to me that there's states that are still having people talk about it. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. We're slowly coming back to work. Like, that's wild to me, because in Arizona, I mean, that's been over for a year and a half at least. Like, I've been back at work for a minute now. But it's just crazy to me that there's still people, like, I've heard other people in other states, like, yeah, I'm finally going back into work. And I'm like, what? What have you guys, like, I get that first period where everybody was freaking out, but there's still people going back to work now. Like, that's just wild to me.
I think it's wild that people didn't go to work for a while. Cause, like,
yeah,
well,
that's wild. So
I was one of those weird people who worked from home before COVID. For like 3 years, I'd been working from home, and then COVID hit, and then everyone got to work from home, and they're all like, damn, this is nice. You don't have to put on pants. I'm like, yeah, welcome. Welcome to ultimate power. And and then they're like, oh, now we have to put on pants again. And I'm like, sucks to be you.
You're like, I still don't put on pants.
Right? Even if I come into the office.
You're a pants disrespecter.
Right. Yeah, right.
We only wear pink underwear on Wednesdays, right?
Mine have hearts.
Yeah, dude, it's been a fucking crazy time. And to look back on it and think that shit, we've been doing this for over 2 years now. And then to think that you were one of our first, like one of the big guests that we were really excited about to come on, and then go 2 years from then. It's been a wild ride.
Yeah.
What's up, everyone? Let me take a second and tell you about our new sponsor, David Day. He offers a legal protection membership that gives you access to attorneys 24/7 for as little as $1 a day. When you're pulled over, don't talk to the police. Shut the fuck up and call your attorney. When a company screws you over, don't try to call and fight them. Have your attorney write them a letter. Take action to be the man of your house and protect your family from the worst aspects of the state. Visit David's website at davidday.com/bullet so that he knows we sent you. That website is David, davidday.com/bullet. Let him know that we sent you, and hope he protects everything you need out there.
Jesus.
Let's talk. Well, you were about to say something, typo. Sorry, cut you off.
No, I was not.
You were just making a weird ass face. I was just gonna say some of the things that I wanted to talk about, and we just went over them real quick. We got to talk about Mar-a-Lago and Trump. Well, let's just get that out of the way. So, my thing with the whole Trump and Mar-a-Lago thing, is there things that the FBI could go after Trump for? Absolutely. But if we're going to go after Trump, there is about 15, 20 other people that we should have hit but with the FBI before Trump, at the very minimum. And so this is a targeted thing, and it's been a targeted thing on Trump for a long time. Trump should go to prison for war crimes in Yemen. I think everybody's probably in agreement with that, but so should Obama. So should the Clinton squad, whatever you want to call them, or isn't that what they call themselves? The squad. It's like, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the girl that's married to her brother. and then like, I don't know, there's a redhead in there somewhere, but
you got the two important ones. Everyone else is just sort of fodder.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're the squad. It's crazy that because there was already tampering when he was trying to get elected by the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. They were already bugging his suites and shit like that to try and listen in on a presidential candidate. And now we've got a possible presidential run in 2024. And they're going to SWAT his fucking house.
Yeah.
Like, that's wild to me. That's wild to me. And Biden's still trying to shake people's hands twice because he forgot he did it the first time. And wandering around in giant lawns because he doesn't know which way to walk.
Yeah. He's like the president with the lowest approval rating of my lifetime. And he's targeting his number one component in 2024. And I mean, honestly, and some people say Biden might not have known about it, but Biden doesn't even know where he's at. So his people.
Yeah.
And
The list of things that Biden doesn't know is immense.
Yeah. It's so crazy how a lot of people, a lot of the conservative people kind of thought when Trump got elected, he was going to go on there and change everything and, roll back the state in some way. And, and that all fell through. Yeah. I wish he was that wrecking ball to me, I think he was kind of a weak president and kind of just went along with the regime. I mean, maybe he kind of put up a fight as in with his rhetoric, but in the end of the day, his policies don't reflect that.
But typo, he made mean tweets on the Twitters.
Yeah.
Like him very much. No.
Yeah, and it's crazy because I think that also became obvious, at least to some people, that it doesn't really matter who you elect. This regime just keeps going. And then you get Biden in there, and it's like, I don't know if it's ever been more obvious in my life that this dude's not in charge of anything.
Yeah, then you realize it's just a steamroller it's a steamboat that just keeps chugging. Like, it's got plenty of everything it needs to keep going, and it's going to keep going no matter who the captain is.
I'm disappointed that while we're talking about this, I don't just have a clown horn sitting on my desk that I can honk just to enunciate how upside down insane land the world is and how just absolutely fucked we all are.
Yeah.
And that, so I like, was... all you could really do now is just like sort of brace, you know, just wait for everything to come crashing down.
Dude, isn't that the weirdest feeling in the world?
Right. It's so surreal because you can't care anymore. You just can't.
No.
You just have to let go and laugh a little and maybe enjoy the final moments of this disaster.
Yeah. You know? I was listening to Dominic Cruz. He's a UFC fighter and he's one of my one of the greatest UFC fighters will go in the Hall of Fame. But he was talking to Ariel Helwani because he fights this weekend and he was like super zen and, you know, just kind of like chilling. He's got a big fight this weekend, you know. One more, he gets to go to the belt, and it's in his hometown in San Diego. So Ariel's just like, you're like super chill right now. And he's talking about how he's just like let go of like trying to control everything. And it kind of resonated with me because I'm definitely a control freak in my life. Like, I've always been a control freak. Typo can probably attest to it. I'm a control freak in the house, a control freak everywhere when we were living together. And so but there's like a certain point where you got to stop getting worked up over all these things. Like, I still get worked up, but for the most part, it's either for the show or just in certain instances. But it's such a weird feeling to just be like, well, it's failing and I'm tired of telling people that it's failing and I'm just going to let it ride out. And then when people are freak out a little bit and it's the same people that you told that everything was going to fail, you know, 2 years ago, and they're freaking out finally, it's like, yeah, dude, welcome. First time. Like,
yeah, first time.
It's super unsettling. I was in Vegas this last weekend. And I was in this lazy river at a resort at the Mandalay Bay. And there was people in the lazy river, adults, full-grown adults, with masks, like K95 masks in this lazy river. With a black cherry white claw in their hand. And so...
Did they have a hole cut in the mask so they wouldn't have to take it off to drink, really?
No. Oh, they would pull the mask down and take a big gulp, hammered as fuck, and then put the mask back on. And then lay, like, you know, float down this 3-foot lazy river. And I was just like,
to me, like, the next time they took their mask off for a drink, you should have held their head underwater.
I know, right? Well, I should have just done it with the mask on. You're like, is it safe? Is it filtering out the oxygen for you? Like,
yeah, no, it's totally, it's filtering out all the oxygen.
Yeah. And it's, dude, it was just wild. Cause I like looked around and I was just like, nobody's bullying these people. Like, what are we doing? What is this? This is the society that we live in. This is okay.
I mean, it's really Reagan's fault for closing down the asylums.
You know, you might have a point with that one.
The crazies are out and they're breeding.
Yeah, they let them out and they found their way into Washington.
I thought you were going to say Walmart there. I'm like, damn.
hey, that's a little bit true. I used to get, like, you know, I always heard that a lot, like, especially when I moved to the city. Like, I come from a very small town. So, like, Walmart's where we got everything, man. And when, like, I'd go to, like, the city and, like, liberal people would just, like, shit on Walmart and be like, I would never step into a Walmart and all that. And I was like, dude, that's all we had, bro. Right. Are you shit? That's where people went and bought guns.
Like, God, those were the days. You could go to Walmart and buy an actual ass gun.
Yeah.
And all the ammo you needed.
Yeah. Even the Walmart that we have now in my little town doesn't sell guns anymore. They have some ammo, but it's like 22 and I think that's it.
Right. It's nothing. Boomer inventory.
Yes. Yes, it's very, very weak.
But no, do you think psychopaths? Oh, go ahead.
I say I'm very much the same. Like, I lived in Iowa in a small town, and, you know, pre-COVID, during COVID, and we just had a Walmart to go to, and that was it. We still had to go 10 miles to get there, and it's really annoying. And now I moved to Orlando, and there's a Walmart like 5 minutes away, and so I drive to the Walmart, and it's just full of, you know, just garbage. Sucks. I'm not even talking about the yes. people. I'm just talking about Walmart in general. It's just garbage everywhere, wall to wall garbage, and it's not good. I hate Walmart.
I was gonna say, do you think the crazies go to Walmart in big cities because they just it's like ingrained in their evolution that they have to go to a big walled in area with no windows? Like,
yeah, that checks out.
Yeah,
I didn't think about that.
You know, it's just like. My grandmother was in one of these. It's my turn. Like, and right. So they just hang out at the Walmart constantly.
I don't know why, but it seems familiar and comfortable.
I feel safe in here.
Gray walls, no windows, skylights. Yeah.
You always get to talk to the manager as long as you ask.
Yep.
Yeah, dude. I think it was a culture shock because even when we went to Japan, you know, it's obviously a culture shock. So everything was different and it was more city. Mm-hmm. So it didn't matter. And then we went to 29 Palms, which is a bigger city than Typo's at, but it's all Marines. So it's like, all right, I expect the craziness of what this is. Cause I already know what Marines are like.
Yeah.
But then I just
assumed it was like this because of the base, not because of the city.
Yeah. And then we moved to Phoenix, which is where I'm from. And I got him to come with me. And he was like, is it always like this everywhere all the time? And I'm like, yeah, dude, this is the city. Like, this is how the city works. Like, it's just, there's a lot of homeless people here. And I'm like, yeah, it's 115 degrees outside. That homeless person has survived out here like this for the last 10 years. They don't even need water anymore. They've adapted.
No, he just sticks his feet in the ground and he gets it like the trees do. It's fine.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. That was probably the weirdest part because... There was, I don't know why, there's always a Circle K everywhere in Phoenix. There's a Circle K fucking everywhere. Mm-hmm. And every Circle K had like, it was like these couple, maybe one, maybe a couple, but it was like these homeless people's spot. Like this is their panhandling spot. And
yeah,
I used to feel bad, dude. I used to always feel bad. They come over, you know, like all sad, look drained, obviously addicted to something. Asking me for money, and I used to give them change, dude. And then I'd see them always walk out with like tall boys and stuff, and I'd be like, "Well, I'm not doing that anymore." Like,
that could have been money I could have used for the tall boy.
I could have
been
tall
my
boy.
Tall boy.
you go jump the homeless person so you can take his tall boy because you bought it with your money. You're like, give me back that money, bitch! I'll take your tall boy.
That's what I'm gonna do to any Ukrainian, dude. I'm gonna chase them and rob them. It's my
give me
money.
Back that AA-12,
dude.
Yeah, that was totally my AA-12 or my. Oh shit! What? I was gonna say AA-12, but I was playing Battlefield the other day. That's just in my brain. What's that AA-12? Anyway, I don't fucking know. No, I used to think I used to feel bad for homeless people when I was younger, and then I remember seeing this vlog series in the early days of the internet where. It was a guy who was like just a hardcore like advocate for homeless people. And he was a teacher and he's vlogging on his little flip phone way back in the day. And he decided over the course of the summer, like he left all of his money at home, all of his IDs, everything else at home. And just wandered out on the street and says, I'm going to be homeless. So I'm going to document it for people to really show them what it's like. And, you know, he goes out on like a Monday night. And by Wednesday, he's got a bed at the shelter. He's got an interview for the next day. He hasn't gone without a meal. He's got new clothes, new IDs, you know, everything he needs to get a job the next day. And then he just stopped advocating from that point forward. Like he was never heard from again. So,
I saw one that was like that on the early days of the internet. And it was a guy that wanted to document it. And he was like, he would like ask them how much they made that day and stuff like that. And if it was a good day or a bad day. And like, there was a few of them, that he'd follow and they'd go to like, you know, their brand new Bentley, like at the end of the day or something, or, whoa. You know, a brand new car. And then they'd drive home to their wife and kids and, you know, go on about their day. And it's like there is a homeless problem. I'm not saying there's not like legitimate homeless people that are fucking not addicted to shit or whatever, But there's a lot of money to being made, both as the people trying to help the homeless people and for the homeless people themselves, because as much as everybody likes to say that, you know, the United States is horrible to their homeless population and this, that, or the other.
I think we're better than most.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that give a crap ton of money to people on the side of the street. Every time I'm at a stoplight, I drive a lot for my job, drive a shit ton. Every time I'm at a stoplight, I see somebody handing the homeless person change or whatever else, and it's at least one person, not me.
Not
but it's not you. Don't you feel bad?
I can't do it. I'm in a company truck.
Oh yeah, that's a good excuse.
Yeah, it's an excuse. Absolutely.
There's a college town near me, and it would probably be like the largest or closer to a larger city around. I mean, it's not that much bigger. Probably the size of like 29 Palms, but when we started getting homeless people there, and people were kind of freaking out about it because you don't really have homeless people in that town. So I think it was actually the local news station was doing like the investigating reporting, and they found out. They found out it was a bunch of college kids that lived at the university, and instead of getting a job, they would just go panhandle on the side of the road, dude.
Amazing. Now, the real question is, were they making more than like a regular person would at minimum wage?
Oh, right? That's a good, I don't know if we ever found that out. The news made it seem like it was a big deal and like how these kids were evil and bad or whatever. And they didn't, I don't know, they never got into that, but I feel like they have to be, right? Like if you're making more money than a regular job, like if you just do it once or twice and you make a few extra bucks, more than like you work like, I don't know, being a waiter or
you can sit
or
on
bouncer.
You can sit on the side of a road, play on your phone, and then sign. You get money. Yeah,
that's true.
Not shower for a little while.
Just wear your laundry day clothes.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be pretty. Just wear some like rugged ass clothes, rub some dirt on them, and then throw them on, dude. Like you can easily just. I mean, hell. I mean, we saw it like just like that Bentley thing.
Shit, you look homeless right now.
That's true.
you're wearing a raggedy ass team shirt, fucking weathered ass hat.
Whatever, dude. No. It actually,
he's not homeless. Weather. He has a hat.
He's got a mullet.
Yeah, no, he's checking all the boxes.
Guys, this is my shack, all right?
Like all you need is a sign, you know?
he's in the back of a Circle K right now.
All that's just a green screen. It's fine.
But no, I did see that a lot, though, where it'd be like homeless people with like their signs or whatever, and then they're just on their phone behind the sign. And then, I don't know, do they just hand out smartphones to homeless people? Because I've seen a lot of homeless people with smartphones.
No, they don't. They don't hand out. No. Well, they had the Obama phone for a while. The Obama phone was a wild idea.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah. Yeah. They were like trying to get phones into every American's hand. And it was for people on like food stamps and things like that. But it was like most of them already had a phone. Like people will go hungry before they don't pay their phone bill at this point in our society. So
ain't that the truth, dude?
So it didn't work out that well, but the Obama phone. But now, dude, I was talking, I think we did a podcast a while back where I was bitching because my phone was like 3 years old and I hadn't gotten a new one, and this dude asked me for fucking $20 and was mad that I didn't give it to him on the side of the road, and he had a brand new iPhone, and I was like, bro, you got a better phone than I do, man. Like,
nice.
You're going to ask me for $20. You give me $20. Like, fuck you. Dude. Get the fuck out of here.
I saw a story recently where he was like trying to buy, I don't know, some McDonald's for some homeless dude. And he walked him inside and like swiped his debit card, and his debit card got declined. And the homeless guy's like, it's all right, dude. We'll go sit out front. And someone will help us.
I mean, that's some good on the job training for that guy.
Oh man, dude.
That sucks, dude. That would be so depressing. Like, I'm trying to be a nice person. Decline.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever show my face.
It's just a cheeseburger meal. That, like,
yeah, that's one of those where you gotta move to a new town.
Yeah. Yeah.
Several
you don't need
ties.
That getting around. Right. You don't need that getting around. That's fucking funny. The other thing, well, yeah, so I mean, I guess we didn't spend that much time on Mar-a-Lago, but
we can go back to it. Just like the FBI.
Yeah, exactly.
Trump's homeless now.
I know, so Trump's homeless right now. That's how I was gonna segue it back into it.
It would be wild if they hit all of his houses all at the same time.
Yeah.
That would tie up the entire FBI just permanently.
Well,
for like two or three days.
I will say this, though. It was very interesting watching some of the Florida Republicans and how they reacted, because they actually hit a house in Mar-a-Lago in Florida. Well, that's DeSantis' state, you know? And the other Republicans in there were, I mean, I forgot his name, but he basically was saying, like, we need to have emergency, like, Florida Congress or Senate meeting, whatever the fuck he was, and we need to pass a law that says that we're not going to allow FBI agents in our state anymore. And I feel
like I was just talking about that too, like within the last couple podcasts, where I was like, there's a couple of states that are like, hey, ATFs, we're not helping anything with the ATF. And I think that's what they were talking about. But then there was the other Republican, Tim something, the black dude, that was like, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah,
it
what
the,
a pussy. Yeah.
Yeah. That guy was a fucking bitch.
Tim Scott.
And it's like,
I think his name
Tim
is.
Scott. Yeah.
This whole thing highlights the problems with politicians, is that they're all generally pro-state.
Right? Yeah.
And by pro-state, yeah, I mean they're for the government, and they're so far up their own asses they can see it. The pro-state.
Yeah, yeah, I got it. Anyway, I was gonna make a cancer joke, but
all these bills that you're talking about, like with the ATF, where they're like, oh, we're not gonna help the ATF anymore, you know, they're all well and good, but they all stop at like, we're just not going to stop them, or we're not going to like assist them, right? We're not gonna step in front and like stop them, or you know, shoot them at the border, which is what I would recommend when the federal agents come into your state, is you just shoot them at the border and you call it a day. That way they're never actually Florida's problem. Or you have like a DMZ, right? 20 miles from the border, you know, whatever. I recommend this to Texas too. They keep trying to secede, but they never quite, you know, pull the trigger
there.
So just set up a 20-mile DMZ, get a couple of your Border Patrol helicopters.
Yeah, and Texas would be like, probably they had an incident, a major incident in their state where the FBI and ATF, like, you know, burned down a fucking, basically a compound, which is almost a church in a lot of ways to a lot of people, and killed, I don't even know, like hundreds, maybe over a hundred women and children and men or something like that. And so, and I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, the sheriff of that county had no idea that was even happening. They had no idea that the feds were coming into their jurisdiction. And yeah, the sheriff, you know, tried to call them off, but what's calling them, telling them, no, don't do this, really going to work? And I think you're right. And that's something that I would really advocate for. I mean, you know, obviously, I don't know exactly what your political perspective is, if you are an anarchist, but me and Luke are anarchists and want, you know, we at least the get rid of the federal government is where we'll be okay with. We'll be okay. We'll settle for getting rid of the federal government. Like that's
we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take that. And I think if states are like for real, and I think, you know, it just happened that the rating of Donald Trump's place, it's kind of starting to radicalize a lot of at least conservative and Republican types that like, hey, maybe we don't need this FBI anymore. And their idea is to go to Washington and try to change it from the inside. But I think you have a much better shot of some taking control, Republicans or whoever, taking control of their state government and enforcing, like you said, like, no, you are not coming in here. And we have men with guns just like you do. And we're not going to allow that to happen.
Yeah, it's a lot different of a story when you can still reach the tyrants, right? When the tyrants are just like a half a day's drive away from you, as opposed to multiple days, because they're all in DC, right?
Right.
So, you know, if we relocate all that power to the state level, to the state governments, at least that way you know, when things go awry at your local level, you have someone you can reach out to in whatever manner you need to, in order to remedy that. So,
yeah. And you can even take that down to like the county level.
Mm-hmm.
Your sheriff is an elected official and has executive authority over the county.
Yeah. County, so, city, HOA, mm-hmm. just all the levels of government.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Go all the way to HOA. You get your
I'd be you get an your HOA neighbor. Terrorist, bro.
Right? No, my father-in-law passed earlier this year, and his survived by his widow and all that, who's moving into like a little suburban community. Mm-hmm. And she signs some initial paperwork. And then later she found out that the HOA was running out of money. So that what they like to do is they like to selectively jack up their HOA fees every couple months by like a couple $100s.
Whoa.
And wow. So she's like, wow, I really need to I really can't do this. Right. And the guy slaps her with a lawsuit immediately because wow. he's a lawyer and it doesn't cost him anything. It's like, yeah. wow, I fucking despise HOAs.
Anyway, yeah, dude, they're the worst.
I rant.
Yeah, they're the worst. They're just, fuck, dude. Them yeah. and the federal government are in ties with each other. They
yeah, we had tar some problems.
Feathered just the same.
Yeah, the first two places that we lived at in Phoenix, Arizona, had HOA. Now the first one wasn't that bad, but our neighbors were pretty chill. We actually talked to our neighbors decent amount, and I mean, I don't even think we ever got any sort of fine or anything. No, like
I think
that.
Our HOA fee was only like $30 too. It was, I mean, it was in yeah, the middle of nothing. The ghetto, so it was. Yeah. There's not a whole lot of age. What are they going to do? Stop shooting your guns? Like,
yeah. yeah. That's already going on. But the second one, it was the first day. The first day we were moving in. And I'm pretty sure it was Jared, actually. Mm-hmm. And he didn't park on the right side of the road. There was like no traffic. This is kind of like no one really drives on this road besides the residents. And we were moving in and we had the moving truck in front of our fucking house, and Jared just happened to park on the wrong side with the flow of traffic or whatever, and someone, I'm assuming whoever's in charge of goddamn HOA, called the fucking cops on us and came yeah. and the cop yelled at us, basically. He was like, you can't park like this, what do you think you're doing, blah blah blah, this is against like, the HOA here. We're like, what,
get the fuck out of here.
Right.
Yeah, wild. I hate HOAs. They can go all burn. I don't care. There's a whole bunch of people that are like, well, you have a choice to move in the HOA. It's like, fuck you. I bought this goddamn house. Like,
right.
This is my property.
You don't really have a choice anymore, especially if you're moving like in a city. You're just kind of fucked because there, like everywhere is an HOA.
Yeah.
You can't not have one.
So garbage. Yes. HOAs in the federal government can get fucked. I need a hat that says fuck
it
you,
would be,
HOA.
It would be pretty cool, though, if you're in your HOA and your neighborhood watch is like, you know, right. going up armed against like federal agents. That'd be pretty sick, though.
Look, if my neighborhood watch had a technical, I would be all for it. But my neighborhood doesn't even have a watch, so whatever.
Well, and you know, I'm kind of okay with that too. Get the fuck up. I'll watch my place. Fuck
yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
But I don't know. It's going back to the secession thing. I said this a while ago, but secession is only going to work if blue states do it first. Like, if red states do it, it'll be a civil war. If blue states do it, everybody will think it's noble.
If red states do it, it'd be, oh, look at all those terrorists in government.
Yeah, it's an act of war if red states do it. And it's inherently racist if red states do it.
And
especially in the South.
The only thing that makes it, you know, noble or an act of terrorism is all of our news networks. That's it.
Yeah.
In any other way, it's they're going to spin the story,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be either terrorism or a noble act for peace or something.
Yeah. And I honestly believe like that's, they're going to be like, we have to save all the trans kids in Washington. And it's like, bro, just let them, they already live there. Like, when nobody's telling them they have to get out. Like,
right.
They're fine in Washington. Like, nobody cares there. Nobody can do anything in Washington anyways. They're still coming back from COVID, apparently. But yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those weird things where it'd be dope if Texas seceded, but
Be dope if a lot of states seceded, like 50 of them.
Yeah.
And dude, Puerto Rico really, and Guam.
It'd be really fucking cool.
Can Puerto Rico and Guam secede?
I don't know, dude. They're like vassal states at this point.
Right? It's kind of fucked. Like, I feel like they should be states, but I don't really know all the geopolitical bullshit that keeps them as like tributaries or whatever. And I guess I don't really care either.
I know the two things is like they don't pay taxes. I'm sure it's just federal tax they don't pay.
Right.
And they can't vote. And I would gladly give up that right.
Yeah, voting doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, I gladly give up my right to vote to not pay taxes. Like I do that heartbeat.
Wait, I can give you this thing that doesn't matter for 30% of my own money back?
Yes. Thanks. Like you think that I don't do every election cycle, I can just keep my money? Yes. Okay.
I'd be much happier as a person.
So if I was like a resident in I don't really know like what that means for all that entails. Like you said, like I don't know all the geopolitical politics or whatever that go along with it, but just that alone, just knowing that, I would not want to become a state. If I lived in Puerto Rico, I'd be like, no, never become a state ever.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think they, at least Washington, D.C., they're trying somewhat to make it a state, maybe even Puerto Rico. That's
going to be so fucking weird.
But I think they're
they want Washington, D.C. to be a state.
Yeah, it's retarded. I think that the Dems just think because these places would be more likely to vote blue, that's why they want them to have, so they have more power in the Senate and the House and whatever.
Well, it's funny because they carved out Washington, D.C., that 10-mile square, as specifically not a state. Because they didn't want any one state to hold the seat of government and be, you know, assumed to be more powerful than any other state. So,
yeah,
I don't know. That worked out kind of insane. Right.
Well, I mean, and this is all coming after like them fencing off the inauguration, putting up military personnel all across the inauguration. It was like, I told my mom this one when it was going on. I was like, have you ever seen a military coup? And she was like, well, no, obviously. And I was like, well, let me pull up a video of it and pull up a military coup from like any other state or any other country across the world where the United States has led a military coup. And it looks exactly the same as the inauguration. And I was like, yeah, this is what a military coup looks like. Can you tell me the difference between these two pictures? No, they're the same picture. That's why.
That's a good meme. We should pull up the Myanmar footage and then the inauguration footage. Side by side,
and then you have like they bring in J-Lo to sing America the Beautiful, and then like all these pop stars that supported it, and it's like, all right, well, you know, this is the most we're talking about. It is, it's the same shit. We were watching Narcos, and it's like the same shit. Like he gets involved in the, you know, Pablo Escobar gets involved in, you know, giving out money to the barrio that he grew up in. Mm-hmm. And then he gets involved with the politics because he wants to go into politics, and he gets involved in all the popular culture because he knows to get involved in the politics, he needs to have the backing of popular culture. And it's like, all right. So like, we know the blueprint, and the blueprint happens often. And obviously Pablo Escobar didn't take over the government. He ended up becoming a criminal of the country, but still at the same time, it's like we know
the blueprint. What's the difference?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're not wrong, but it's like they did the same. It's just funny that they did the same thing that we've seen hundreds of times.
Yeah,
it's
I'm just kind of shocked that like the normal people don't really catch on, and I say normal people lovingly. But like this has been every election ever since the beginning of publicity.
Yeah. Yeah. Ever since the news stopped being like, this is what happened in your local community this week, and became, this is what your favorite people have said this week or today, or, you know, whatever. It's just kind of, it's gone downhill quickly.
Yeah. Like the power of the microphone. And like, I mean, I think television, like, yeah, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but my parents always were worried that I was spending too much time on the internet growing up, maybe spending too much time playing video games while they would sit there and watch whatever fucking shit was on TV. And mm-hmm. it's like, well, which one really turned out to be worse in the end? Like, which one really brainwashes you and kind of, like, don't be wrong, the internet has a little bit of that. But I think the internet, there's a lot more different options where if you don't want to watch whatever propaganda, like, I don't know, my parents were into, like, every single one of those, like, cop crime shows that they were on cable TV at night, like CSI, CSI Miami, CSI Las Vegas. And it's like, I was like, this one, which one paints a more false reality of the world around us and right. makes you kind of like believe in, like, well, you know, and on the show, the cops would blatantly do something that's like against the rules, their own rules. And they would admit yeah. that, but they would be like, but we had to because he was evil. And it was, the show made the guy, whoever it was, a very bad guy.
Right.
But, you know, we just kind of like, well, they have to do it. Yeah. So it's like a justification. It's like, and I believe that, in my opinion, I believe that has a lot to do with why some people, boomers, are so back the blue about everything because of the shit they were fed when we, like, my whole life they were fed that stuff.
Really bad about it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And
yeah, it's very much like, if when you see it over and over again and you're like, oh, they broke into that guy's house without a warrant because they absolutely had to, like, that becomes right. the excuse.
Hey, guess what,
a really bad person.
Where's CSI reality, right? Where they break into the guy's house without a warrant, and then the guy who you caught red-handed murdering seven people gets to walk free because you broke into his house without a warrant.
Yeah.
Right? When do we get that show? That would be great.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Well, I hate the... Well, I just get... Honestly, like, the most thing... Maybe it's because I was in the military, but the biggest thing that annoyed me is watching the CSI, like, forensic nerds are the ones kicking in the doors. I'm God. Like, dude, these guys are not, there's a whole fucking SWAT team for this. That's what they right. do. They don't, right. It's not the detective. It's not the lead detective. They don't do this.
The nerd who hasn't shot a gun in 10 years doesn't get to be the point man in the breaching team. It's not, no, bad.
Stop it.
Oh, that was I always frustrated, especially after going through the Marine Corps. That was the most frustrating yeah. thing for me. Not even the propaganda, just that right. annoyed me, and I don't know why.
Or how they'd breach a fucking house. That would annoy the fuck out of me. No checking corners, no checking doorways. They're just, oh, there he is. And then sprint through a fucking house out into the, because it always goes through the back door. And it's like, nobody was at the back fucking door. What the fuck are we doing?
No one, no one of the 20 man insertion team could have been bothered to go around the back.
Yeah. But then you see like live, like actual videos of right. like cops going up to a house and it's like seven cops in the doorway and a dude takes out a shotgun and
right.
puts some fucking metal in their chest and they're like, how good, I never expected this. And it's like a real life video. And you're like, well, you know, maybe you kind of deserve it at that point.
The fourth guy in the stack is thinking, God, I don't know how I'm going to financially recover.
Dude, it's just so, we did a couple like rewatches of those on like the earlier shows because we were pretty angry at, I mean, we're still angry at cops, but it's not as bad anymore. So it was a lot funnier then. But, and we haven't seen any good ones lately, I guess, too. But it was like them, you know, going up to a doorway and telling the person that they need to come out with their hands up. And it's just four guys in a fucking, in the doorway. They don't even have their guns drawn. Like there was one, they didn't have any guns drawn, but they were like, you need to come out. You're armed. Like they were basically saying that he's armed and dangerous and he needs to come out of the house right now. And then dude just picks up a fucking gun and it's like, all right, bet. I get a 4-for-1 shot right now because you guys are idiots. It's just wild. It's just wild to me that for however much stock the civilian population
puts into police
officers, at how incredibly incoherent and naive these police officers are when they're doing their job.
It's just, yeah, just like every other government program.
Yes.
They're stupid. Right. They're bad. They misallocate their resources.
They weren't trained by the best. They were trained by whoever costs the least.
Yes. Yeah.
And whoever stayed around the longest.
Right. And then decided to start a consulting company after he retired.
and then won a contract because he helped out the mayor's daughter at one point or some shit like that. But speaking of stupid cops and stupid things cops do, what do you think about this gun bill that's going through? Because that's gonna be, I don't think, well, I'll just say this. I don't think it's going to get passed.
No,
obviously. But if it did get passed, it's like, what are they going to do? Create a shit ton of fucking, you know, what, 80 people?
87,000 ATF agents out of nowhere?
Well, you got the IRS people. And I was just saying, you know, if they pass that bill, the assault weapons ban or the Protect Our Children Act, they pass that bill, it creates what, 100 million gun owners overnight as felons? Like,
probably.
What are they going to do with that? They can't do anything with that.
I mean, it's going to have to be a lot of no-knock raids, and those are never going to be pleasant for a lot of people. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, here's maybe more of a broader question. With, like, the, you know, the development of how far 3D printing has come, is gun control even feasible? Like, I kind of believe that even before 3D printing, it kind of wasn't. But now, with how far it's came, is that even feasible anymore, like, at all?
I mean, well, I think the first thing we need to address is, like, what is gun control? And it's not taking guns. It's not preventing your ability to have one. It's saying, if you have one, well, now you're a criminal, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, we've already seen a multitude of people who just don't care already whether or not society wants to consider them a criminal because they're out there willingly committing crimes that, you know, far less severe than owning a gun as this bill would do. So, like, on a practical measure, I don't think it's enforceable. On a more psychological level, I think this bill exists so that everyone can scream about the issue. So that the Democrats can say, oh, look at this gun bill, we're doing something, right? And then they go back to their parents who, you know, demand things, committee, and say, look what we did. We wrote this 300-page bill, and no one please read it because it doesn't make any sense, and it's not, like, logically coherent all the way through. It's just a bunch of words on paper. But look, it's 300 pages. That's a lot. And here, we passed it through the Senate. Now, you know, the senators get to, they steamrolled it through, and, oh, politics. And then the House gets to complain about it on both sides, about, hey, look at what the evil people are doing over there. Oh, but look, they're writing a bill. And so everybody gets to scream about the issue to their voters, and then their voters get to go and vote for them because they said something that they agreed with, as opposed to, you know, doing anything on one side or the other to actually resolve a problem. So I guess to underline my point here is that politicians don't care about solving a problem. They care about having the issue to argue about so they can vote on it later.
Right. And as we've seen, guns, abortion, and financial things are the best things to run on.
Yep.
Guns, abortion, and I guess I kind of roll in gay marriage and all that. Well, welfare too, but gay marriage and all that kind of runs into the abortion rights because it's part of Roe v. Wade. But, you know, all that's just kind of, those have been the hot talking points for the last 20 plus years, 30 plus years now. And, you know, it's been great to run on them. So they're going to continue doing it until they find the next thing that really gets people going. Immigration reform, things like that. Instead of actually making it logically consistent to get in this fucking country and not have somebody that's from a country that's extremely poor, that has no job or any ties to the United States, to come into this country legally, they have to spend, you know, upwards of $40,000 to get into this country legally and become a United States citizen. And it's like, bro, they don't have any money now. Like, what, right? Can we figure out a better way to do these things? And that's why it gets people talking, right? It's like, there's a lot of people that were like, we want things to get better for the general population. Like, overall, all of us want better for our communities. You know, like, it's not like, especially anarchists and libertarians, we get a lot of flack for this. Like, you guys just don't give a shit about anything. You guys don't want to help anybody. You guys are selfish. And it's right. Like, nah, it's just like, we've seen all the bullshit that they've done constantly. And it's just to get you guys talking because you guys care about the issues, just like we care about the issues. We just think that we can do it better ourselves and we're not allowed to do it ourselves. So that's where the problem lies. And mm-hmm. there is, and as much as I love to give Democrats flack for this, the Republicans do it too, but they want the issue solved for them by somebody else. And that's why they elect somebody to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, you know, that's why we're in the position that we're in. We've continued to allow the power of ourselves, the individual population, the individual person's power to be rented out to somebody else. And it's never returned. And you guys are okay with that. So now it's their fault and it never has to be your fault again until it affects you directly. And then it's still their fault and you won't have to take responsibility. And you're like, I got fucked by the system, which you did get fucked by the system, but you got fucked by the system because you continuously let it take everything that you have.
You got fucked because you weren't paying attention.
Yes.
So, you know, who was fucking you basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just crazy. And it sucks because you want to see a better, you know, mm-hmm. civilization. You want to see better communities. You want less homeless people or less, you want more of an, equality of opportunity, not outcome, but an opportunity. And you want that because it creates a better society and it creates better businesses and cheaper products and all these other
better
things.
Better people in general. Yeah. On base, better people.
Yeah, it does. Because and competition is healthy and things mm-hmm. like that are good because it brings out the best in people. And it always has. And that's why people love sports and things like that. Because mm-hmm. you're just amazed at like the talents that these people have. So if you do that in any other type of business, the better that they do it, the cheaper it is for everybody else. And then we're all happy.
Oh yeah.
And it's just wild that it's just a continuous talking points game when it comes to either state elections, county elections, federal elections. It's all just talking points and it's never actual until they do something where it's like, now we're creating a system where you can rat on your neighbor if they have guns. And then you get no-knock raided in the next couple months and you'll never know on who ratted you out.
Yeah, it's all fucked. Yeah. there's no real other way. We're just fucked. Yeah. You know, all our political sort of class isn't paying attention anymore to what people want. Everyone's annoyed with them. And the people who aren't annoyed are still not paying attention. And, well, they're going to be the worst off later. Because they're just going to continue to be sort of milked like tax cattle, basically. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't think the federal government wants less people, even though like there's people that keep calling for, you know, a kid tax or something like that. I've seen that going around again lately.
Wait, really?
Yeah, they're like, God. We should. There was one, I can't remember who said it, but they were like, we should really start thinking as a society, or I don't want a federal bill or anything, but I think as a society, we should make it taboo to have more than one kid, because why would you bring more than one kid into the world at this point in time? Do you know how much carbon that is?
Yeah. Why would you plant more than one tree or like more than one door in your house, or maybe more than one window in your home?
Yeah.
Why would you ever own more than one TV or more than one trash can?
More than one gun,
right? Well, I was getting to that, but
but yeah, dude, I was just like, oh, this is the things that people, and that's the other thing, we have all these other issues and then we are arguing about stuff like that, and it's like,
right,
I'm just waiting for the collapse, man. I'm just enjoying it on the way down.
Like if I could magically, like, you know, put in one keystone thing that might maybe like stop this whole thing from derailing, right? It would be an overhaul of the IRS, because then maybe people would start paying more attention.
Yeah,
right? just an IRS, but with a website that you can log into with a bunch of sliders for all the government initiatives, and you can you can take your contribution to the general taxes, right, and decide what government actions that money goes to. You know, if you want to put it all in defense, fine, put your whatever amount of money in defense. If you want to put it all in whatever homeless shelters, do that. But if people could pay a little more attention to what money they were giving the government, they might pay a little more attention to who's in the government, and then maybe it doesn't need to just implode on itself. But
exactly. Well, it's like, well, that was one of our first shows too. We had a guy on named Crowdfunded Government.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, he was all over that, and he was all about it. I don't really know what happened to him or if there was some libertarian drama with that, but probably as always.
I just saw him at Childeberg a couple months ago.
Oh, really?
So
good.
Yeah.
So he's doing good.
Yeah, he's all right. He's just fine.
He's not dead. I mean, he's still possibly a Fed, but he's not dead. And that's cool. But speaking of the IRS, the 87,000 people that they're going to hire to send out to all of the what is it, the poverty belt, because that's what it overlays the graph, or it's like the amount of people that are the states that have the biggest auditing and the areas that get audited the most in the United States is basically right on par with the poverty belt in the United States. Well, so now we're going to send 87,000 more of those people to audit the poverty belt.
It is a good min-max strategy on the side of the government, because they're just fucking with the people who can't afford the good lawyers to fuck with the government instead.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. And that's it. That's it. It's a bunch of people with money and power fucking with people who don't have a lot of money and power to milk a couple extra shekels out of them for whatever. Who cares? It's all garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's what it looks like. They're going to hurt poor people. That's what government mainly does. Yeah.
But that's like every bill that's been passed in the last 10 years. It just has some, you know, grossly negative effect on people who don't have, you know, loose money to fight.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was thinking, I mean, this was my first thoughts, and I haven't looked much into it, but like with that big of an increase, because it's like bigger than like the FBI, the State Department, Border Patrol, the Pentagon, like some other department, like all combined in one, the IRS is going to be bigger than all of those departments combined. And, you know, I was kind of thinking like, well, this could be like maybe something along the lines of, you know, the US dollar, you know, going away. Maybe they're going to transition into like a digital type of currency, like they kind of been throwing around. Right. I was thinking maybe a crackdown on crypto, something like that, because that crypto seems to be picking up. I don't know. It just seems like they're really overhauling. They're really jacking up the IRS, and I don't know exactly what it is. I mean, it could just be they're going to get the most shackles out of the poor that they can, but I don't know. I feel like something else is in the works. I don't really know. I can't put my finger on it, but
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I think the IRS also has like their own SWAT team too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, they totally do. And really, at the end of the day, every agency is a subgroup of the IRS, because the IRS pays all their bills.
That's true.
Like, and even the ATF, right? So the ATF, you have to buy a tax stamp for like your suppressors or your NFA devices. That's to the IRS, not the ATF. So even they're a freaking IRS agency. What was I going to say though? I don't know. It's all garbage, man. All you can do is watch and just watch and wait for the inevitable step too far, you know?
Yeah. I guess it would be maybe you would know this, but I mean, is there a way or any idea that you have of like how many or how frequent that like 3D printing of guns is becoming in this country?
I mean, it's remarkably easy.
Easy and cheap.
Right. It's remarkably easy, remarkably cheap. you know, hardware is readily available for anyone with a little bit of disposable income. And then if you have a little bit of time, you can make it work basically as well as any, you know, off the shelf gun. So, I mean, I would say we're probably into the millions, probably not into the tens of millions.
Well, a million people printing guns is the size of the U.S. Army.
But it's 0.25% of the population. So rookie numbers. Good work, but rookie numbers. I'm still a little disappointed in you kids. But we're getting there.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems like a lot of the things that's coming out of 3D printing is advancing relatively pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially, like, would you say that you guys have come or the 3D printing community has come a long way since like probably 2 years ago?
Yeah, so when you think about it, we're in like, this was explained to me with some people who are far more knowledgeable about early guns than I am. We're in like 1890s, right? With 3D printing. Okay. We were anyway. And because we're trying to make, you know, semi-automatic firearms that, you know, with simple tooling and make them relatively reliable, but we're using butter to hold everything together, right? Which is what they were using in 1890. It was just butter steel. It was soft as hell. They hadn't quite figured out how to harden it yet. And so, you know, progressing on now with like the FGC 9 Mark IIs and some of the like the Biden's Bane AR Upper that came out, we're getting into like the early 1900s now with, you know, semi-automatic, relatively light caliber, repeatable firearms. So we're making progress. You know, we still got another 100 years of technological development to go before we get to modern day. But, you know, considering we covered 20 years in a year and a half, you know, we'll get there pretty quick.
That's amazing, dude. It's almost, I mean, I don't know if you're a fan of crypto or anything, but it's kind of like how, I mean, I kind of see like almost like technology is going, in a lot of ways, is going to be the things that can help free us.
Oh, yeah.
Almost avert the state and anything they try or want to do to us. And it's almost getting to the point where it doesn't even matter what laws they put on the books or what they try to do, because, or even if they try to enforce it or outlaw anything, it seems that it's almost just becoming damn near impossible for them to do anything, because everything, instead of you having to go to like some major weapons company to buy whatever a firearm you want, we're almost to the point where you can just go online, download it, have a 3D yeah. printer, have the equipment for it, and you could basically print it out almost. Dude. Yeah. And it's, I don't know, stuff like that. Just like, that's what gives me hope. Not really anything in Washington, you know, not really anything that goes on in the political space. And yeah, don't get me wrong, I like seeing some radical politicians say the right thing. It does, you know, make me feel a little bit better. But in the end of the day, I'm not relying on them to set us free. I'm relying on communities like yours and what your guys are building and how that's advancing and very quickly. And because I remember seeing like the first time we were interviewing you, you know, before, we were all looking up clips and stuff about 3D printer weapons and stuff, and you know, it'd be like a gun that put like, you know, 300 rounds through it and then break and snap and bust and all this, and we're like, oh man, like this is cool. I just really hope, you know, it gets better. And then now the clips that I'm seeing online, I'm like, oh my God, dude. Like,
watch me dump my 10,000 round through this Glock, you know? It's,
yeah.
Oh, yes. You can, and I don't want to sugarcoat this for the listeners, right? There is a level of, you have to know what you're doing in order to build a 3D printed gun that works reliably, that doesn't break within 100 rounds. But the files are getting better. They're getting more and more structurally sound. So it more and more comes down to you and your ability to use your 3D printer to print this thing. And so, you know, I don't want to like mislead anyone and say, oh, you can just hit the button and it's magically, it's yes, better than a Glock, you know, day. Soon. Maybe we'll get there with the advent of technology with better printers and everything else being more accessible at a lower price. But you have to know, you have to understand some of how your printer works in order to print well, you know, and not have it break
and, or blow up on you.
Yeah.
Could you almost describe it in a weird way? Like it's almost like an art form.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's we've, so I, at the guide.controlpew.com, I'm gonna plug my shit here.
Yeah.
Go to the guide.controlpew.com, learn how to 3D print. And we've covered all of the science there, right? So set up your printer, follow the instructions, set up your printer, start printing something that isn't a gun, and then tune in that printer so that it prints well, and then print a gun. And then from that point on, it becomes more art than science, right? So we've ironed out all the science. The science is done. Now you just have to sort of feel your way through the last 20%.
Yeah, Typo and I, when we first got our printer, we didn't get to the 1% mark.
We bought it and we retarded. So
and we're retarded. But right? His dad really wanted to mess with it. So I don't know if you guys have yet or not, but when I get my new place, I'm planning to get, because I don't think I got quite all the things I needed. You know, like there's like a certain point where you don't, like you need the bigger plate, you need some of the other things that make it a little bit easier to do things with it. And we were fucking poor as shit then too. And
yeah,
Typo's in Circle K right now, so right. You know, maybe he can.
I hear it's good money.
Yeah, apparently being homeless is where it's at right now.
Look, but, 20 bucks is 20 bucks, all right?
that's like the plan is, we've kind of gotten really big and we really like Bitcoin. Like that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously. And so that was the one undertaking that I had over the last year and a half, was like, all right, let's really figure out what Bitcoin is and what it does and things like that. You know, I feel like it's an integral part of what I think will be successful in the future. So right. It's like, I really need to understand this to at least a point where I can explain it to other people that respect me or want to hear what I think about something. So
that
now
list
the next,
is very small.
Yeah.
I was saying, I don't know about the first part, but tell me about, so this is actually something that I've been trying to like figure out myself, is because I see Bitcoin more as like a store of value than a monetary device, right?
So what I'm looking at it as now. So before I was like, oh, store of value. I understand the concept of what that is saying. It's an asset that won't depreciate when inflation kicks in, kind of deal, you know? But the reason why it won't is because, well, the only reason why now that I'm so far into it, or I'm like, all right, this is it, this is how it's going to be, is because I legitimately see it as the future currency of the global world. Like it's gotta be, because all these other ones are gonna fucking fail. And even if there's other competing ones, like even if the US dollar is still survived by the crypto US dollar or something like that, there's gonna be a lot of people that are just gonna be like, yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. And right. As the technology gets better with Bitcoin and it's more easily accessible to go from dollars to Bitcoins and Bitcoins to dollars, and it's getting there, and there's things that help you do that more, the more people are going to be like, yeah, I get to hold the actual money that I have. Cause I was explaining this to somebody the other day where I was like, yeah, you know, once you put the money in like a bank, like you don't own that money anymore. The bank owns that money technically, like from a legality perspective, they own that money, even though it's your money stored in their bank. Like they legitimately own that. But with Bitcoin, and if you have your own keys and you have your own wallet and cold storage and hot storage or hard storage, whatever. I did a lot of research, obviously. And, you know, if you have that, then you own your keys. So that money is yours and it's accessible to you when you need it. And so that's kind of how I see it. And I think, I mean, we've been saying it the whole time, like it's going to fail at some point. All this is going to fail.
I was just going to add on top of that, like here, it probably might not catch on as quickly here in America because we do have the US dollar. It's still, you know, pretty dominant. It might be dominant for who knows how long,
right?
But it became very popular in like third world countries And a lot of people were able to, because they used it as a store of value, and they were able to leave their country with their currency depreciating, and they didn't have to worry about their own government robbing them as they were leaving. And that's when I realized that, like, watching like Zimbabwe go for like, you know, 100% to 1,000% inflation or whatever ridiculous it was, and those people were freaking out, but the people there that had Bitcoin, they were okay. And that was like, to me, it was like, holy shit. Like, I don't know, I'm not saying that the dollar is gonna like go insane. It could. I don't fucking know. I'm not an economist. But right. To me, that was like the biggest thing. And like Luke said, I think once the user friendliness catches up, and like, just like with 3D printing, once it like it becomes more understandable to the layman like myself, I think it'll pick up a lot faster. And as it becomes more user friendly, it'll pick up and increase. And that's I think inevitably.
That's sort of the you're sort of illustrating the problem that I have with Bitcoin. Is most of the community is sort of at least perceived to be like the hodl kids. All they do is buy Bitcoin and hold it. And what I need from Bitcoin, because I take Bitcoin in my shop, right?
Right.
I need to go and buy ammo with Bitcoin, or buy groceries with Bitcoin, or pay rent with Bitcoin, right? So these are all like the utility of the thing is missing, and it's just a store of value. But not a very good one, because the wild variations of like the crypto to US dollar, aside from inflation, right? So like I look at a store of value as something that increases in value proportionately to the, you know, increase in inflation, right?
Right.
So $107 or $100 in gold over the course of a year at 7% inflation, right, is now worth $107 later, or something more than $107. And Bitcoin doesn't do that. It's got its own sort of like
try zooming out with it.
Right. No, I understand. I got the right.
That's the problem, but, right? Because it's very, for a lot of, I think we just talked about this, where it's like, it's your time preference, right? It's like, you got your high time preference and your low time preference. And like currently for me right now, I'm in a spot where I'm not on get on zero. Like our buddy, we had a guy on a couple weeks ago. He's like, get on zero. Like he helps run a whole page about it.
Get on zero fiat.
Get on zero. So he's no fiat and he's all Bitcoin, and he can live his life that way. And yet when he needs to transfer it, maybe some of the transfer times are a little bit longer than he would like them, but he can do everything that he wants to do by living off of the Bitcoin that he has. And he decided to do it when it was at its fucking peak too. So like, he was already in Bitcoin before that, but he, like, when he finally made the choice to like, bet, I'm gonna go all in on this, I've been talking about it, I just gotta fucking do it, he did it at its peak. So he was like, it was like a fuck moment too, because he kept going down. Right. And now it's leveled out to a place where it's kind of staying in that 20,000 range. Right. And he's like, even if I did lose all that money on it, like it's still okay with me, because I own that money and I'm still living well within my means to be able to do that. And he's like, I'm not telling everybody to go out there and be like, yeah, go invest everything that in your bank account right now into Bitcoin. Right. And then next week, if it drops, you know, $10,000 and you're at fucking $100 left in your account, then you're kind of fucked. And how I saw it was, I'm at a point right now where each paycheck that I get, if I needed to pay rent or things like that, I can do everything I need to with that paycheck that comes in. But the following paychecks after that, I could basically put all that into Bitcoin. And I'm a little bit more in a spot that I'm able to do that now if I wanted to.
Right.
I haven't made that jump yet because it freaks me the fuck out. But I also told him the last time, I was like, I need to stop being a bitch and just do it. But I think what you're, the problem is, we have to get it to a point that, because not everybody's thinking about the low time or the low time preference. Nobody, it's hard to think about that, especially in tumultuous times. Right. So it's like, we have to get it so it's easily adaptable for the high time preference, current right now time preference type people. And that's
most people still operating on a paycheck to paycheck sort of lifestyle really the biggest detriment to cryptocurrency, period.
Yeah, especially with it not being easily. But he also does a lot of his in like his day-to-day expenses in Cash App. He keeps it in, he keeps a certain amount in Bitcoin on Cash App, and it's easily adjusted to cash on Cash App. And that's kind of how he pays some of those more immediate bills, if you would, if you had to say it. So I don't know. Yeah, and it's just one of those. Go ahead, type.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, you know, like, especially with a lot of people, they, and I mean, I still kind of have this mindset sometimes, but like, when Bitcoin was at like 67, 68, I think 67 was when it peaked or whatever. And that was an easy time to be like, buy Bitcoin. I fucking told you, you know, like, it, you know, get up and get everyone on it. But now that it's like, you know, dropped like 60 something percent of its value, you know, trying to tell people like buy Bitcoin at this moment is a little bit more difficult because like
it should be easier, though.
It should be the best time.
Right. Well, that yes, that would be the argument, would be like that's
counter to normal people thinking.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. And, you know, and honestly, when I first started buying Bitcoin, I think when me and Luke started buying Bitcoin, it was in like the 50,000 range. When we had a little bit, not much at all, but a little bit before that, when we consistently started buying it, it was pretty close to its peak. So I mean, and it's dropped, so like, I mean, if I add up all the amount of money that I put in my Bitcoin, I probably am in a net loss. I think I don't really know if
you, but I also expect it to go back up, and that's the biggest thing. Is like
That's the goal. I mean, if you're not buying Bitcoin hoping it goes up, then what the fuck are you buying Bitcoin for?
the real meta maneuver, right, is you buy something with cash, but in a large quantity, so you get a bulk pricing discount, like from a vendor. So for like patches, right, you pay them in cash, and then you sell that for Bitcoin, and so it doesn't matter what the price of Bitcoin and what the spot price is. You've 5x'd right there.
Yeah. Exactly. No, that's the honestly, like, that's, I mean, that's how there's a lot of people that have done it like that for all their merch shops and things, like, you know, that's a way to do it. And our merch is slow moving because we never fucking plug it,
never promote it.
But, you know, and but that's
but ours is on demand.
Yeah, right? Ours is on demand too. But that's kind of how I see, you know, the 3D printing as it gets more user friendly, as it becomes more easily the entrance to get into it, it gets so many more people to start to do it, because then it becomes a hobby, and then you can do this or that, or, you know, there's some people that have $300 lying around, but like you said, there's a lot of people that it's like paycheck to paycheck, and they don't have $300 lying around for an ender. And it's like, you know, it's a little bit different, obviously, because it's Bitcoin, and one's got a more user ability than the other one, I think. And that's the 3D printing, because you can do a lot of stuff with it.
Having a physical thing helps a lot.
Yes, it does. It does. I recommend everybody grabbing a cold storage, so then you can put your Bitcoin on something that you can physically see. And there you go. Yeah, see? There you go. But, it's just one of those things. I think I've said this since our first show, I'm pretty sure, is technology is going to be the thing that legitimately takes us out of the dark ages that we're living in right now, because it's what took us out of the fucking dark ages in the first place.
Every dark age is solved through innovation. And thank God the government can't innovate at all. They're fundamentally incapable of innovating.
Yep. Yes. And every single time.
Yeah. They're still it's up running. To us. They're still running on a system that was created 240 years ago. So
the number of was it nuclear launch codes that were still 0000 like in the control bunkers, because they never set a new password.
That is, I couldn't imagine. That's wild. I never heard that before, but it doesn't surprise me. in the least.
Not at all. the number of once upon a time I did security audits for the government, and the number of passwords that were on post-it notes under keyboards or under mouse pads were just astronomically high.
Oh, that's still a thing. That's a thing. No, like if you go into any military office, if you go into a military office right now, you can find a password easy as shit.
Absolutely.
You can imagine how many CTEs those motherfuckers have too. They're not remembering shit.
The government also, like, I'll say this, for someone that's not the best at remembering passwords, the government made it a very, like, these, like, insane credentials you had to have for your password, at least to me. And it was, like, you know, 5 capital letters, 4 numbers or whatever, special characters. And like, if it was too close to your previous one, then you couldn't do that. So, like, I kind of understood why people always put them under their keyboard.
It was the most anti-human policy. The U.S. government password policy was the most anti-human policy I'd ever seen, because it was never something that could ever be remembered by an actual person.
No, it's not. It can't have like your name, an actual word. Like, it was the wildest thing ever. And I never remembered it, so I had to reset it every time I logged into one of those fucking systems.
The only reason I ever remembered my password is because I'm from the last generation of people who had physical keypads on phones, and we didn't have like a phone book just on the phone. We had to actually dial numbers to get people. And so I would memorize phone numbers.
Yeah.
And the physical keypads on phones and keyboards are flipped, right? So if you kept the physical location for all the buttons of my phone number and you type that into the keypad with a couple special characters and a couple other letters, that was my password the whole time, because the only way I could remember it, because it was the physical locations of the keys.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. Well, that's kind of how my company's kind of got the same thing now, where it has to be like this fucking crazy password. And so then when I make passwords for like our personal accounts for this podcast and I have to share it with Typo, it's like all craziness.
I'm like, what is that?
And he's like, why, dude? It's like my first initial, his second initial, his first initial, my second initial. It's like all over the place. And then like the year, or like a birthday year or something. Or, you know, month, day, and then a couple of special characters. And he's like, why do you make it like this? And I was like, well, now I have to remember my stuff, so I have to make them more complicated so I can remember this one's stuff. It's all fucking wild.
Yeah. Every time. Well, the only reason he can say that out loud is because that was like our first password like 3 years ago. And now it's like something completely different.
Well, I think we've changed it by 20. I think we've changed it like 20 times because we don't ever remember it.
Yeah, we're retarded. And we get new devices, and then we're like, do you remember the password for this account? Do you remember the anchor password? And he's like, no, reset it.
So now it's time to introduce the episode sponsor, which is LastPass.
Right? Exactly. Dude, if I could get one of those, I would. Right? If I got sponsored by one of those places, I'd be like, yeah, I use this fucking every day.
Right.
Because I can't remember shit. And it's got a biometric screening for me to log in. I can use my fucking thumbprint.
Look, most of you are retarded like me. You can't remember anything. Just trust this faceless organization on the internet to encrypt this text file on their computer that has all your passwords. It's fine. Yeah. Nothing wrong could possibly happen here.
And especially with like all the leaks with like big data companies lately, it's like, my credit karma, when I look it up, it's your password has been found in 17 different login sites as being, I don't know, breached or something like this. And I'm like, well, I guess it's going to be breached, and I'll change it to another one in a little bit.
I'll change it when I get the notification from that company that someone logged into my FetLife account or whatever.
Exactly. From Zimbabwe, because they're trying to buy some Bitcoin.
Yep.
But.
No, I legit do use LastPass, and it's great, but it's also just, it's gonna come back to bite me one of these days.
Yeah, they all are, though. That's the problem, is like you gotta take what is an acceptable loss, you know? Right. Like there's some things where you're like, all right, that's an acceptable loss that I'm willing to take at this point. And that's kind of just kind of how it goes.
I'm trying, because it's a little Kingston data traveler. probably can't see it, but it's an encrypted thumb drive. And so I'm trying to find one of those portable password apps that I can just put on this and then walk around with it. But
haven't found a good one yet.
Haven't found a good one.
Yeah, it's hard. That's the thing with technology too, man. A lot of it's still not for the layman, and you don't know really.
Well, there was this golden era in the early 2000s where a bunch of people were just dumping out freeware, right? And it's like you see this in every tech group that's started up on the internet in the last 30 years, is they start up developing freeware, and then it turns into eventually software as a service, right? Which is where we are now with LastPass and all these other companies. Is you just pay them every month, and then you get the same service that you used to get for free with this free thing that you downloaded once upon a time. It was really a better time, and I'm sad that it's gone to shit too.
Yeah, because they would just innovate it too for you, and you just had to update it.
Right.
Yeah, bastards.
Or they just didn't, and you just had a thing that worked.
Yeah, it just always worked.
Yeah.
This was before day one DLC patches and stuff, you know?
Oh, my God. Yeah, when, like, when I found out, like, I played a lot of games growing up, like, Xbox games.
Yeah,
and shit.
We can tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever. And when I would have games on there, and, like, I found out, like, oh, they're coming out with, like, DLC, like, maps or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then I found out that the maps are already installed on the game itself, on the disc.
Yep.
They're just giving you like a code or whatever that lets you access what you already fucking bought.
Yeah.
When I found that out, I wanted to throw, like, I wanted to go on a riot, dude. I was like, what, dude? They're just robbing us. And they come out with like 5 DLCs. And then next year they come out with a whole fucking new game. And you're like, oh, my God, dude.
Yeah, at least now when you buy the game, the all those maps and stuff aren't already bundled in that download, right? It's another download that you have to get later. So
yes,
it makes it a little different.
Right. It feels a little different, but also the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same, but different. Yeah, dude. It's a crazy world we're living in. And I'm just going to keep on living, I guess. Nothing better to do. Yeah, exactly. Fucking clown world. It's like the Stranger Things, everything's upside down.
Mm-hmm.
No. Master of Puppets is only known as the Stranger Things song. That fucking bothers the hell out of me. I don't know if you guys watched. Yeah.
There's like Metallica, Master of Puppets?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
The Zoomers only know it because of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Well, we're fucked.
And
that's it. I've lost every last shred of hope for the remainder of humanity.
Kate Bush, who wasn't even on the radio in the 80s, is on the radio all the time. You know, it's just we're living in a fucking weird ass world, man.
I hear parachute pants are coming back.
Oh, god damn it. Never mind. Maybe it's not worth living anymore. Where's my pistol at? But
oh, look at
there
that.
You go. That thing's dope, dude.
Like,
make that?
Yeah, this is the Tac Daddy.
The Tac Daddy.
Oh. So, Sol Invictus, which is a company you probably don't know, but they made a Tac 9, which is an updated for current year Tech 9. So it's got Tech 9 aesthetics, but everything is completely different on the inside. All new metal bits. Uses an AR-15 fire control group. It's a hammer instead of a garbage striker. So the trigger actually feels kind of nice. But yeah, and so now we're making some 3D printed logos for them.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's dope. I'm so excited for how big, like, there's going to be something that really just sets it off. Like, it's been set off constantly. Like, there's been like little fires, but there's going to be like a raging forest fire, and it's coming soon. I follow this one guy that he's like an engineer. I can't remember his name right now. I was trying to find it earlier, but he is trying to figure out how to make the barrel, you know, at home, make a barrel and like spin it so it's got the correct rotations for all bullets and things like that, instead of having to buy it. And he's doing it with like fucking buckets and shit. And he's also making
ECM, electrochemical. They Stark and Ivan and I think Jeff Rod were the three guys who put that together in the early days. And then Ivan put it into sort of a more concise form for the FGC9s. So you can make those barrels at home. And they're starting to play with more calibers in the same sort of tech format, and different chamberings. They're trying to figure out how to do like shouldered cartridges, like your 223. So anything with a shoulder in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're getting there. It's fun to watch.
That's the crazy thing. It's going to be the whole thing you're going to be able to make at home.
Mm-hmm.
Were those guys kind of like the ones that started it off? Is there kind of, I don't know, do you know like the kind of the history with 3D printing when it all kind of started?
Yeah. So way back, the first thing that you will probably remember hearing about it is, Cody Wilson on 60 Minutes with the Liberator.
Right. Yes.
Around that same time, there's a group of other people on the internet discussing it, sort of making, some loose designs for it. That birthed FOSCAD, and then, people started paying more and more attention in the early 2010s. And then 2017, a guy named Durwood released the Shooty AP9, which was, it was, it's the father to the FGC9. So it's, I wouldn't call it a finished gun. It worked, but it took quite a bit of refinement to get it to work. And then Sark found that and got together with Ivan, and they put together the FGC9 Mark I, which refined all of that, put it into a format that was easy to understand and actually build, set up using common common metric hardware. So, your common round stock sizes that you could get. And then Ivan and Jeff Rod worked together to put together the sort of ECM barrel documentation that went into that, so you can make your own barrels at home. And then the Menendez mag that had already been released at that time sort of came into play, as now you can 3D print your magazine also. So you're really just buying some common stock, common fasteners, common springs, to finish out building this thing. And most of it, all of it was available, still available on AliExpress. So you can get it shipped pretty well everywhere. So that was 2018, 2019. God, now I can't even remember what day it's been forever, but not that long. I can't remember what day it was when that, or what year it was when the FGC9 Mark I came out. And then they went back into dev. And again, along this whole timeline, you're seeing the Tech 9 release, the EB10, the Glock frames that have been all over the place now. Just a long design history of just everything else, sort of, stuff that us in America are spoiled for, because we can just buy parts for it, but you can't buy them anywhere else. And then let's see, last year, 21, the Mark II came out for the FGC9. So again, enhanced ergonomics, enhanced buildability, refined the instructions more, refined all the documentation so that it's even easier now to build. And that's what you're seeing in like Myanmar and in foreign countries and foreign conflicts, sort of appearing here and there.
Yeah, it's huge in Myanmar. I just typed in Jay Stark, but it's, his stuff is literally all over anything mm-hmm. with Myanmar in it.
Yep.
RIP Jay Stark, but it's just crazy to see how much it's changed. And I'm telling you, we're coming up on something with all the work that all you guys do. They're coming up on something that's just gonna make it. There's going to be something that somebody figures out where it's just going to be the fire that started,
There are two huge technological hurdles that we need to come over. The first is a more economical, higher end, a higher quality, more economical 3D printer, right? So
right.
We're starting to see that. I think the first one of note is like the Bamboo Labs X1. Which is just coming off of their Kickstarter. I've seen a lot of the pre-roll for it around the internet. And it seems like it does a really good job. It has a lot of features that you would be hard to, that would be hard to find in like a $4,000 or $5,000 printer, but you're getting them for $1,000. So yeah. Again, that's 1/5 the cost. We're seeing the just drop, you know, a lot. The thing you give up on that is a lot of it's proprietary. So we like open source. We like, you know, having everything out there in the public. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit, you know, it's a little hinky. They might try and do something weird if they find out, oh, everyone who's printing guns with these, you know, but
right.
They're early. Right. So we'll give them a little bit of credit. Hopefully that'll drive some more innovation out of the guys like from Prusa or Creality to deliver a better quality printer at a far lower price. Right. And then the other thing that the other big hurdle is, you know, locked actions. So right now with the FGC9, it's all blowback. And anything you see, like any of the ARs, they're using, you know, the commercial AR bolts and barrels. So we're buying locking parts from, you know, all these companies instead of finding a way to make them. And that's like the next big hurdle is some locking mechanism for a 3D printed firearm that makes it capable of handling, 223, something like that natively. There's a guy who's playing with a flywheel delay mechanism. And I don't like, I understand the physics enough to understand them, but not enough to explain them. It's a little bit of an insane thing. So he's firing a 450 Bushmaster cartridge, just commercial 450 Bushmaster. It's a blowback action that's acting on a flywheel in the stock to retard the bolt thrust coming back, so it still opens at a safe velocity.
It's going to revolutionize what a gun is.
Right. It's, I don't think I've ever seen a flywheel in any firearm ever. So that's kind of new. And I don't know. He's just, if you're listening, go subscribe to Evan Jones on YouTube. He's the kid who's doing it. He has a lot of playing stuff. He's a brilliant kid. But yeah, flywheel delay rifle is chef's kiss. It's another level of silly, and I love it. But I don't know. He's gonna see where it goes. I'm anxious to watch and see what happens with that.
Fuck yeah, dude. Well, it's an exciting time. It's a weird time. There's a lot of shit going on, and it's just like keep finding the things that give you more freedom over your life. And that's kind of like, it's kind of like the goal at this point.
Every little bit of freedom.
Would you,
anywhere you can take it.
Would you say that the 3D printing community is very toxic? Like the Bitcoin community can be sometimes.
Oh yeah. Every online community is just full of like some of the most toxic goddamn people in the world. But
yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
there isn't a wholesome community anymore because, you know, money and fame, right?
Yeah. It's just funny because I've seen some like 3D printing dudes go at it online sometimes, and I'm like, oh god, dude, this is right. they're like arguing over like semantics. Like, to me it's semantics. Like I'm just an outsider, but I'm like, wait, aren't you guys like on the same team? And they hate each other.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's god, there's a lot of that.
It's like libertarians in general,
right?
Yeah. Yes. Any like fringe community that has, I don't know, a decent amount of community, like people in their community, they're going to argue like over the most craziest things sometimes to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually love it. I think it builds a community and makes them better because it kind of like, stirs which way the community goes, and you kind of want that debate.
Some people like collaboration and some people like conflict, and you get a lot of both depending on whatever you want to pay attention to. So, you know, I don't know.
You lose some.
I desperately try not to get involved in it, but I'm apparently involved. I'm apparently like involved in most of it, and I don't say anything about it, but it's all my fault somehow. I don't know.
What, people just don't like your, I don't know, whatever content you produce?
I don't know. I just get attributed with stuff. I'm like, I didn't do any of that.
Oh. Well, like, it's kind of cool. People are, I don't know. I guess
publicity is good publicity.
Yeah, somebody's got to be the villain. I guess I'll put on a fucking cape or something. But you know. I don't know. It's just weird.
You're like, I'm just a guy. Like, I just do this on my free time. Like, I don't know.
I'm trying to make it a full time job, but shit, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, like I'm just here. Like I was an admin for a group, and then like, oh yeah, your group kicked a bunch of people. I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm just here. I don't. Whatever.
You're like, I didn't kick anybody. Right. I don't know what the fuck.
Did I kick you? Why are you adding me on Twitter, bro? Settle down. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, it's any community. There's always drama, and people like to follow drama, and I fucking despise it. Whatever.
Yeah, you know? Well,
yeah, that's kind of how we are. We kind of just stick out of it. We're just like, right. Yeah, we're flies on the wall, just watching.
I will say
shit on both sides,
right? fair and reasonable. Now, I will say that there is like, when there is a fundamental like safety flaw in a 3D printed gun, I will shit on people all day and all night. Oh, yeah. But like the Harlot, right? It's. I have a lot of issues with that group. And here I am. I don't want to talk about drama. I'm talking about the drama. The Harlot is a shitty gun. It's bad. It's not even good for gun buybacks. Just don't. Right? A Songbird is cheaper to print and easier to deal with. And just, it's three parts, right? And you take it to a buyback. You say, here's a gun. But like, they didn't really test it before they released it. When they released it, they didn't inform the people making it that it was considered in any other weapon. So it's an actual felony, like a problematic felony.
Oh, wow.
So they just allowed people to be ignorant about that. I'm like, no, you have to proactively tell them this, and you can't allow that to like, just be out, you know what I mean? Like you as, you know, you can't have that out there without that disclaimer, because, you know, 50 people going to jail because they printed your bullshit gun. Is not good.
Pretty bad.
You know, especially when they're completely ignorant about it. Like, you have to inform people in this community, especially because nobody knows anything. We're all on the bleeding edge of technology and law. So
yeah,
you know, it's kind of a problem. Anyway, that's my rant.
The Songbird looks pretty dope. I like the Songbird.
Yeah, it's nice.
It looks like a crazy fucking 90s gun.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like something you hook up to your Nintendo.
Yeah, the most the most memorable one that I've seen was one that was powered by condoms, and they called it the Aborter. Right? So instead of rubber bands, it's just condoms.
Dude, people are amazing.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of pushback? I guess, I don't know the way to ask this, like the traditional gun community, like people that aren't into the 3D printing sphere, I guess.
Yes and no. So like there's been a community of gun builders, like home gunsmith, gun builder people, since the beginning of time. And they've been wildly supportive of us. They're like, oh, wow, 3D printing is kind of dope. I didn't think we could do this, but y'all have proven that, you know, you can. And it's, you know, generally relatively safe to do. And then there's the traditional, like, I only need a chotch gun and I go out on my porch and fire two blasts in the air in my suburban community. And my HOA might get mad, but I did what I had to do to defend my home from them peoples. You know boomers. Who I'm talking, right? Yeah, there's two sides of the boomer coin, right? There's the guys who are like, yeah, I build freaking, you know, setmes and everything else in my shed and MP5s and whatever. Then there's the other side who's like, I only own a shotgun. Guns are bad, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, you know, so one half of that coin is like, yeah, 3D printers are cool. The other half is, wow, y'all should be in jail already, you know? Oh, and so there's, you know, I don't know. I mean, well, look, the way I look at boomers is We'll either win them over or they'll die out. It's fine. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a win-win situation.
It's win-win. It's already starting. Like, right. Look at Biden. Look at the decay. Like, yeah. They're going out.
You can't stop it. There are two things you can't stop. Well, three, I guess. Right. The first one is the signal. The second is time. And the third is a train. Right?
Exactly.
I just had an ad pop up for the friggin' train air conditioners.
did that make that pop into your head? Or
Yeah. And Twitter advertisements die.
Goddamn motherfuckers. They're always listening, man. They're always listening. Well, I think that's a good place to end it. We've been droning on now for 2 hours almost.
Really? Damn.
Yeah. It goes by quick. We'll have to do it sooner than 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all should come down to Florida. We'll have some, I don't know, mid-tier whiskey or something. Shoot the bullshit.
Hell yeah. Some mid-tier whiskey.
That's better than the whiskey I have now.
Yeah. Look, they don't have a big selection behind the Circle K, so I figure any tier of whiskey is fine.
Typo. Talk to the manager, bro. You're right there.
Yeah.
Just go in the back. I'm sure they have the case right there. Just take one out.
But yeah, dude, if we're ever in Florida, we'll fucking let you know. I think we'll be moving eventually, hopefully in the next year or so. Before? And it sounds like we're going to be in Tennessee, but we're not too far from Florida.
All right. Right on. It's like a day trip.
Come on down. It's a lot closer than Arizona.
That's true. It's a lot nicer than Arizona, too.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, there's actual green stuff there. So,
yeah.
I don't see a lot of green stuff. So that's what it's called. And I don't even know what a tree or grass is. I'm just cactus.
That's outside stuff, though. You don't need outside stuff. Humanity has spent 2,000 years perfecting inside. Why would I need to go outside?
That's why you work at home, too. You're like, yeah, I'm good.
No pants gang.
No pants gang. Well, go ahead, throw out your stuff real quick, and then we can let you go.
Right on. So controlp.com is the center of the universe for everything. You can follow me on social media, but I'm probably just going to get deleted as soon as you do, and it'll be your fault.
Yep.
So go to controlp.com, sign up for the newsletter there. If you feel like following me on social media, type in the name of the network .controlp.com. So Instagram .controlp.com or wherever the hell you want to find, wherever the hell else you want to find me. That's how you know you'll actually find me, because there's a bunch of people pretending to be me trying to sell you 3D printers via Bitcoin in your DMs. This is bad. Don't do it. If you do want to give me money or Bitcoin for that matter, go to shop.controlp.com. We sell shirts and stickers and other bullshit that you might like. And if you want to support any of the devs who are 3D printing or developing the stuff that you like to print at home, go to donate.controlp.com and you can send them Bitcoin directly. I think those are all the plugs complete. Yes.
Awesome,
there you go. Typo, you got any last words for this?
Thanks for coming on, man. Yeah, again, we'll have to do this a lot sooner than we did last time. 2 years felt like a long time, and it really feels like 3D printing has really come a long way, and I'm really excited to see where you guys take it to the next level, and we'll definitely talk about it, whatever you guys do. You guys get over those two big hurdles. Sign me up, dude.
Right.
Yeah, because Typo and I aren't going to innovate anything over those two hurdles. Like, we're not.
That's fine. We always need testers, you know.
Hey, I can do that. I'll take that hit. I'm cool with that. I'll lose a finger. It's fine. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's for science.
It's for science. Yeah, dude. Thanks again for coming on. We'll get you on again soon, hopefully. And then you're a busy man. You're a busy man. So
all over the board.
Yeah. We'll schedule you out and we'll get you back on soon. We can talk about some of the other things going on in the control pew world and the 3D printed gun world. So I appreciate it.
Anytime.
And that's the fucking shit show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We out.